You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. I'm going to move my I voted sticker over to the side. Those of you watching on TV can see it. Oh, my. Well, as I told you the story about this yesterday, I voted on Saturday. What didn't happen to me on Saturday is apparently happening in Ohio. And Greg Powell is reporting this. It's pretty amazing. If you early voted in Ohio and you were in an African-American neighborhood, you weren't like here in Washington, D.C. I just walked up to the voting machine and voted. But in Ohio, you were given an absentee ballot. Not a ballot, an absentee ballot, which can be challenged. Very, very strange stuff going on. And that's just the beginning of it. Cliff Schechter on the line with us, syndicated columnist and Ohio resident, a regular guest of our program, author of The Real McCain, his website LibertasLLC.com, and Twitter at Cliff Schechter. Hey, Cliff, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much, Tom. How are you, buddy?
I am fine. I am hearing rumbles that I heard that you had an interesting experience voting. You want to tell us about it?
I did. I live in the Cincinnati area, and Hamilton County, the county here, is the one that President Obama carried, the first time a Democrat did since 1964. But it's been trending Democratic, and he's been here a lot recently because there's a growing sort of suburban and urban vote that trends his way. So they're putting a lot of their suppression efforts here. I went to my local polling place, and what I witnessed as soon as I walked in is this sort of strange-looking character. Not strange, let's call him a Republican-looking character. Just kind of watching over people as they were trying to assign their names and coming in to vote, taking pictures of people's signatures, going through voter registration, the booklet of voter registration, and taking pictures. And so I, never being a shy one, after I was done voting, went up to him and asked him what he was doing and why he was hovering over people and looking menacingly at people.
Did you pull out your phone and take his picture?
I did, and sadly my picture came out terribly. Otherwise, it would be all over the internet right now, although I'm thinking of going back.
Yeah.
Only a few blocks from here. And so, you know, I just made it clear to him. He said, oh, I'm a registered poll, you know, I'm a credentialed poll worker, and I can be here. And I said, yeah, you can be here. You can't be standing over people, and you can't be intimidating people. Go sit down and get away from people. And he got upset with me, and I told him, you know what, I'm here too, and I'm going to make sure that you know I'm watching you. And then he made sure that he saw my name, and he wrote it down, I think, to try to scare me, which didn't really work very well. And so luckily, in my case, people need to call the voter hotline, which I'm sure you have there, and sadly, I forget the number, Tom, and I'm sure you're giving it to people all day. In my case, I know the Hamilton
County. It's 866-OUR-VOTE, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds right. So I called the Hamilton County Democratic Party, who sent people over there immediately. So my guess is he was put out of business pretty quickly, but just, you know.
Maybe not. I mean, this guy was, I'm assuming he was one of these True the Vote goons.
He claimed he worked for the Republican Party. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
They're goons too. I mean, they send their own people out, and who cares?
Sure.
If they're given sort of this false patina of respectability by being an officially credentialed worker. They still, you know, they loiter, they look over people. They're doing everything they can to make you feel like you're committing a criminal act just by coming in there voting.
Right.
You know, and luckily this place didn't seem like anybody was backing away or being intimidated, but utterly ridiculous. So I called the party, and they told me literally they were going to send the chair of the Hamilton County Party over there, who I happen to know personally, and so I think hopefully that was taken care of.
Yeah, but, you know, this has got to be a microcosm of a macrocosm. I mean, this is like, you know, Greg Palast is writing a story about how on this last Sunday, he went to an African-American church, Freedom Faith Missionary Baptist Church, and along with a cameraman, and they had a feast of sweet potatoes and banana pudding and gospel, and then they went to the one and only Sunday polling station in all of Dayton and Montgomery County, stood in line with nearly 1,000 voters. This is an 80% African-American group. Stood in line for hours. Finally, what they got was an application for absentee voters ballot. As you know, these are not real ballots. These are ballots that can be easily thrown out. According to the New York Times, 2 to 3 million such ballots were thrown out last year. African Americans' ballots are 900% more likely to be thrown out, and this is one of the reasons why we basically have two elections going on. One for Black Americans and one for White Americans, at least in the state of Ohio, apparently.
Yeah, and I would go even further to say one for Democrats, because if your other groups that are likely to vote Democratic, Latino, and certain other groups, they're also going to try to get rid of your vote. It's ridiculous, and it really kind of reminds me of what we went through in 2000, what we went through during the Clinton impeachment, and we're a modern democracy. We're supposed to be, and this is embarrassing. It's really shameful, and it's something that needs to be addressed. The way we needed to have a Voting Rights Act to overturn some of the vestiges of Jim Crow, which are now have found their way back into our system. This is the electronic voting that you can't be sure if you're not getting a paper readout. I'm not even sure you can trust them then. The partisan group registering people and throwing out their votes, which we kind of with Nathan Sproul and his whole group. We really do need a new Voting Rights Act, and assuming hopefully President Obama wins and we hold him to the Senate, and I guess the House will be a bit of a problem. But this needs to be addressed nationally because it's a crime.
Right,
and it shouldn't be able to go on.
It is. By the way, we're I'm going to announce this. If you know the answer, don't give it because I want to run it as a contest. But we're going to give a copy, an autographed copy of Cracking the Code, my book on the history of democracy, the history of the Renaissance and the Enlightenment and how American democracy came about and the difference between conservative and liberal worldviews, to the person who calls and correctly answers the question, what does John Galt have to do with our voting machines and our voting? If you think you know the answer to that question, feel free to give us a call at 866-987-THOM, and you can win a book. We're going to run this contest all afternoon. We'll see if anybody knows the answer. It's a fascinating question. I'm curious, Cliff, if you know the answer, don't say it. But do you know?
I might, yeah.
Okay, well, when we get done, I'll put you on hold. And, Louise, I think it'll shock you when you find out. And
I think, honestly, I'd only be throwing out a guess. So if there's a direct connection, then I don't know the answer.
Yes, there is a direct connection. And and it will blow your mind. So, anyhow, here's what I'm curious about. In 2000, you've lived in Ohio for quite some time, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been here since we were in Columbus first, and so I got here to Ohio in general in 2007, and I've been down in Cincinnati now for about 6 months.
Okay. I have never in my life had to wait more than 15 minutes to vote, with the exception of Saturday of this last week. Over the weekend, it took 32 minutes, which was still no big deal. But I've never lived in a swing state in a largely Democratic area. I understand that in the election of 2008, there were not long lines to vote. There was weeks and weeks of early voting because a Democrat was the Secretary of State. But that in 2000 and 2004, we had these long lines in largely African-American and Democratic-leaning districts. Is the same thing happening now? How long was your wait to vote? What are you hearing from Ohio?
Mine wasn't bad, but I don't think mine's representative because I live in sort of an area that I'd more sort of compared to a place like DuPont Circle or compared to Greenwich Village. So it's more liberal, but it also isn't, it's more economic.
It's more affluent, upscale,
white neighborhood. Yeah. They know that if they try to mess with people here, people tend to be pretty well know their rights.
Right.
And be pretty involved in the process, in the political process. So I haven't experienced it, but I did experience, in 2008, what you're talking about, when Jennifer Bruner was the Secretary of State here, I did go and vote early, and the line was, it was 40 minutes maybe. It wasn't ridiculous. It was fantastically done. You knew they made sure to get out the rules to everybody. And, to put this all in the hands of one local election, or call it a statewide election, the Secretary of State races, that's another thing the Voting Rights Act needs to address, which is part
John,
of it.
John Husted is fulfilling Stalin's old saying, it doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts the votes.
That's exactly right.
There you go. Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC. Check it out. Cliff, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Sharing your story. And I'm going to put you on hold. Louise will tell you the secret here. Hang on.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
We'll be back. So what does John Galt have to do with our election voting machines? Maybe you know, maybe you don't. Stick around.
That's why I'm keeping the faith. Yeah, 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 keeping the faith.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Robert in Detroit. Hey, Robert, what's up?
Hey, how are you doing today, Tom?
Fine. It says you're a confused voter. I don't get that.
Well, I'm sort of confused because I went into Secretary of State's office over 7.5 weeks ago to renew my identification, and they're requiring like a lot of extracurricular activity involved. I don't have a birth certificate. I had an expired ID. They wouldn't let me renew my ID without a birth certificate and a Social Security card. So then when I go down to get all my paperwork and documentation from where my birth certificate comes from, they in turn tell me I got to have a valid ID to get my birth certificate. So now I was unable to register to vote as a voter. And my understanding of the Arizona law is that I'm supposed to be able to vote without an affidavit.
Well, you're in Detroit, though.
Right, but still, it's supposed to be a voter law to where I don't have to. It was even on the ballot they sent us in Michigan. If you don't have an ID, you'd have to fill out a form. When I went down to the polls with all the documentation I do have trying to vote, they told me that basically I was not of the ethnic descent that we're speaking of to qualify to be able to vote. And that was sort of confusing to me.
Okay, let me explain it to you. This is thank you for the call, Robert. Here's the situation. There is no affirmative right to vote in the United States. There have been laws passed saying you can't be discriminated against in terms of your right to vote on the basis of your race or your gender. And you are, I'm assuming, Robert, are not a member of a race that has historically been discriminated against, and you are not female. So, you know, if you're in a Democratic-leaning area, they can discriminate against you, and there's no federal recourse. There's no federal law that will back you up. This is why we need a federal right to vote law. And I think it's, frankly, a very important thing, an affirmative right to vote. As the Supreme Court pointed out in Bush v. Gore, you and I have no right to vote for President of the United States. Mark in Seattle. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Hey, Tom, it's Mark Taylor Kenfield. It's been a long time since
I
talked to you. How are you doing?
The fellow who blogs about the Occupy movement all the time. So what's up?
Well, doing a lot of journalism, I just wrote a piece for Truth Out, and it's the story I wanted to let you know about, and that is that our own Seattle Times editor or publisher here in Seattle, Frank Bletton, is now being referred to as our own Citizen Kane, after he gave $80,000 in free campaign ads to the Republican candidate for governor in Washington State, Rob McKenna.
Right, and he claims he's doing this to prove that newspaper advertising works or for some other business reason so he can write it off on his taxes, presumably, or at least have a fig leaf for doing it.
Well, the point is that 100 reporters and staff members from the Seattle Times signed a letter in protest claiming that the paper's decision to subsidize McKenna's campaign violates every code of ethics of journalism and editorialism. It just means that you can't really accept, you know, you can accept money from a candidate to run ads in your newspaper. That's a $100 million business here in Washington State.
Sure.
But to actually subsidize the candidate with free ads and then claim any kind of impartiality when you're covering that campaign with your reporters is just ridiculous, and it smacks of, you know, William Randolph Hearst again. He's trying to swing the election. And by the way, Tom, most people, I think, realize that the governor's race in Washington State has historically been some of the closest races in U.S. history.
Absolutely. Mark, thank you for calling and pointing that out. I appreciate it. It's always great to hear from you. Mark Taylor Canfield. James in Reno, Nevada. Hey, James, you have an answer to our contest. What does John Galt have to do with voting machines?
Well, he's the president of Diebold.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not sure who is now. It was Wally O'Dell in 2004 who said that he would help deliver Ohio to George W. Bush. But wrong answer. Sorry. Good try, James. Good try. John Galt, I'll give you a little clue here. John Galt is the hero of the Ayn Rand novel, Atlas Shrugged. He's the leader of the rich guys who went off to their own little paradise valley, Galt's Gulch. And all the rich guys, all the billionaires went on strike, which caused the United States to collapse because there were no billionaires left. Now, you have to wonder, you know, in Galt's Gulch, what's going on? You know, I mean, who's cooking the food, right? Who's building the houses? I don't know. It's just billionaires. But in Ayn Rand's fevered world, it didn't it seemed to have worked. In Seattle, Kay. Hey, Kay, you have an answer to our contest?
Hi. How are you?
I am fine. What does John Galt have to do with election voting machines?
Well, as you said, he's the enigmatic male hero of the novel Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand.
Right.
And Dagny Taggart is the novel's protagonist.
Right.
Mitt Romney's son, Taggart Romney, is an owner of HIG Capital, the owner, the company that owns the voting machines used in this current election,
right, Hart,
primarily in the swing states.
Okay, well, that's a good answer, but it's not the answer. But close but no cigar, Kay. Thanks a lot for the call. Thanks for trying. Karen in Dublin, Ohio, you have a question to or an answer to our question. What does John Galt have to do with voting machines in the United States?
Yeah, I do, Tom. One of the GOP-run legislatures, they gave the voting machine contract to a company in Omaha, Nebraska, that is on John Galt Boulevard.
You're right, and that company is the largest voting machine company in the United States, ES&S. It was a company that was once run by Chuck Hagel, and then he ran for the Senate on machines counting his own vote, and suddenly he won. What a surprise. And so, Karen, you are going to get an autographed copy of Cracking the Code by Tom Hartman. Did you know that, or did you have to Google it? I'm just curious.
I kind of had heard about it on Rush Limbaugh.
And so, then you confirmed it. Okay, great. I think that's just wonderful. However you knew it, I thought this was like such an obscure piece of knowledge. But, Karen, thank you very much. I'm going to put you on hold, and Louise will get your address. Hang on just a second here. We will be right back. Karen's on line 8, by the way, Shane. You can tell Louise. We will be right back 27 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
So what is a voting machine company doing changing the name of its street to John Galt Boulevard? And what kind of experiences are you having voting today?
Vote for me and I'll set you free.
I love voting.
Oh, yes.
A vote is the only democratic way to decide.
I mean, I have the right to vote, so I have a say.
Please.
That doesn't mean I always get my way.
Oh, no, wait a minute. You live in Ohio? You live in an area of Ohio where it's mostly Democrats? No, so, well, yeah, okay, you can have this absentee ballot after you've waited 8 hours, and we may count it if your candidate loses so badly that there's a recount. And but then you're going to have to come in and prove your identity, and we probably will throw it away. So it's bizarre what is going on. Greg Palast will be with us a little later on in the program and talk about this. But he's, he's writing, blogging about this, his experience in Ohio, going to the polls with a group of African-Americans from an African-American church, and all of them being given absentee ballots, not ballots, not real ballots, but absentee ballots. Absentee ballots, which are subject to 100 different kind, well, not literally 100, I don't know the literal number, but many different ways of being challenged when the person's not there. So these people will never know that their vote actually wasn't counted. The number of votes that people cast and didn't realize were not counted in the last election, according to the New York Times, was in the neighborhood of 2 million. Because we don't have an affirmative right to vote in the United States. In Pennsylvania, there was a guy in central Pennsylvania who walked into a vote, walked up to a voting machine, pushed the Obama button, and the Mitt Romney button lit up. He kept doing it over and over and over again. It didn't seem to make any difference. So he pulled out his cell phone, he videotaped it. It's gone completely viral all over the net. The poll worker said, hey, no big deal, just go away. And so he did. But when he uploaded this thing to the web and it went nuts, somebody showed up and they took that machine out of service. Now, if we had an affirmative right to vote, that would be evidence of a crime. That machine would be a crime scene. Somebody would be going over to figure out what happened. Instead, it's going to be given back to whatever corporation, maybe ES&S on John Galt Boulevard. It's going to be given back to the voting machine company and say, oh, excuse us, we miscalibrated the screen. Right. And my cat knows how to fly. Actually, he can leap pretty, tall buildings, but yeah, that's Higgins. And he's what? I think he's like 13 or 14 now. And, we live on this boat and our bed is, it's not like a normal bed because it's actually sitting on top of a 600 gallon water tank. And so it's this, you know, big square in the middle of the master stateroom in the bedroom, basically. And you know, living on a boat is like living in a bus. I mean, you know, it's just, it's a small space. And because the bed is on top of 600 gallons of water, it's like 5 feet off the ground or 4 feet off the ground. It's a little higher than a normal bed. And when Louise was having her chemo, we got her a little step stool because she was so weak, it was hard to climb up into bed. And so we got a little step stool next to the bed. Higgins now needs the step stool to get up on the bed. That's what it's come to. So anyway, Marty in Evergreen Park, Illinois. Hey, Marty, what's up?
Hey, Tom, thanks so much for taking my call. I just wanted to share with you that I watched all of the presidential debates, and so far I think my favorite moderator was you.
Oh, well,
and,
thank you. You watched the Jill Stein, Gary Johnson debate then last night on Free Speech TV and RT.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, by far. In fact, I was trying to get as many people as I could to watch it, you know, saying, hey, you know, there's still a presidential debate going on. You know, places that were shut out of the, you know, two-party system still have voices that need to be heard. So, so, you know, I tried to get as many people in on that. But I thought, you did a wonderful job, and, you know, I just thought I would.
Thank you for your kind words, Gary. Marty, it's much appreciated. Thank you. It was fun. It was fun. It was interesting, actually. It was particularly interesting to hear. Well, I don't want to pick on the candidate. I was going to pick on Gary Johnson. I'm not going to do that. I'll wait until he's on the show, and I'll pick on him in person. Jeff in Denver, Colorado. Hey, Jeff, what's up?
Hey, I have a website called Report Voting Problems, and I've been getting just tons of
Report Voting Problems. ReportVotingProblems.org.
Yeah, so I suggest that people, this is one of the places people can report problems with votes, and we're getting an amazing number of votes. And by the way, one thing we should start doing is calling these voter elimination laws, I think.
Yes. Voter really suppression and voter elimination. Go ahead.
Good. Well, yeah, it's been a concerted effort since the mid-80s to eliminate Democratic voters.
Yeah.
Not just they want them to go away, first by taking away their right to vote with creating laws that are stricter for things that blacks do, or, you know, Democratic voters, than for whites.
Yeah. This was laid out in 1980 by Paul Weyrich. He came right out and said it. You've heard the tape 1,000 times on this program. He said, how many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome, good government? They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections aren't won by the majority of people. They never have been since the beginning of this republic, and they aren't today. In fact, quite candidly, our leverage in the election goes up as the voting populace goes down. I played it so many times, I have it memorized word for word.
And quickly with ESNS, I obviously know the answer since I sent you an email about it yesterday.
Yes, thank you.
One thing about Chuck Hagel and this and ESNS, people should also be aware that the Omaha World Herald is a major owner of ESNS voting machines.
Right.
So here's the media and the vote counters and so forth, owning things together. Recommend you go to Wikipedia and start tracing the trail there. It's rather interesting.
Yeah, although it's probably being scrubbed as we speak. But Jeff, thank you very much. Once again, your website?
ReportVotingProblems.org.
Very good. Thank you very much. Lynn in Palmdale, California. Hey, Lynn, you have a story about voting?
Oh, yeah. I live in Palmdale, and there's a little community out here. It's called Antelope Acres.
Mm-hmm.
I got a phone call last night at 10 o'clock. The town council out there, it's just a little town council, did not find out until last night that someone had set up a table at this place to vote. They are not on the ballot, and they are hijacking their town council. And when I went to check on it, because I write for this little paper, mm-hmm. and I went to check on it, and no one in the community that I spoke to as they were coming out had been informed that there was an election for a town council. The town council had been told years and years and years that they couldn't put anybody in there for a town council vote during elections because they weren't on the ballot. And yet this person who is trying to hijack the town council, only her special friends knew about the election.
So she's running a write-in campaign?
And like I said, when I asked people about it as they were coming out, people that had lived there 40 years, 30 years, none of them knew. And they wanted to know why this was happening. Anyway, after I talked with the president of the town council, they're talking about getting a class action lawsuit against these people.
Wow.
And I hope they do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, the sheriff was called on me, but I hadn't done anything wrong, so nobody bothered me.
Yeah. Amazing.
And I just thought it's interesting that this kind of stuff is going on in a little town council area.
Well, this is again, why we need a federal affirmative right to vote, just so that when the right to vote is violated or when there are deliberate efforts at obfuscation, Linda McMahon, for example, I think that, frankly, you know, I don't know if this is a crime or just incredibly tasteless. She's a Republican running for the United States Senate in Connecticut, and she's running photographs of African-Americans wearing T-shirts that say Obama and McMahon. She's got door hangers that say vote Obama and McMahon. She's not revealing that she's a Republican, that her husband gave $150,000 to the Mitt Romney campaign. She's not revealing any of that. She's instead saying in mostly minority neighborhoods, vote for Obama and McMahon. And it's totally bizarre because there's actually a Democrat on the ticket for whom Barack Obama has campaigned. And I mean, you know, it's just like these kind of dirty tricks. Lynn, thanks for the story. These dirty tricks are everywhere. It's just incredible. Jason in Arlington, Virginia. Hey, Jason, what's on your mind?
Hey, Tom, how you doing? Hey, I just want to thank you for hosting those debates last night. Again, I always wondered what the answers from both Mitt and Obama would have been had the other two candidates been on the stage, and how many of the people that aren't voting would now possibly consider voting because those two candidates up there might have expressed the views that they hold.
Yeah, and I, you know, for the record, I voted for President Obama. I'm as much as I think that having third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh parties is a really important thing. We need to fix our electoral system first. We need to bring in instant runoff voting. I am not willing, as much as I love Jill Stein, I am not willing to see Mitt Romney appoint 2 or 3 or 4 justices to the United States Supreme Court. But thank you for your kind words. It was a very interesting debate. It was a good one. Tony in Los Angeles. Got a minute to the break, Tony. It's all yours.
Oh, I got to make this one quick. So I'm California in L.A., and so I voted about an hour ago, and my precinct is predominantly Democrat. But I had seen a lot of people filling out provisional ballots today. I don't know what's going on.
Hmm.
And I heard you guys talking about this earlier.
Yeah, if you see a lot of people filling out provisional ballots, they're doing so because their names aren't showing up on the voting rolls. And if your particular county or precinct or however it's organized in California has a Republican supervisor, they may well have done a purge and knocked a bunch of people off. And provisional ballots very often don't get counted. In fact, typically they don't get counted unless there's a very, very large number of them, you know, enough that they could swing the election, or there's an audit of the election. So, Tony, thanks a lot for the heads up. You'd think in California it's a safe state, but actually there's a lot going on in California. There's you know, things, GMOs are on the ballot. Taxes are on the ballot. In fact, from several different directions. Jerry Brown's got his effort on the ballot. So, not surprising. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
And John Galt Boulevard, where ESNS Voting Machine Company is located. Talk media for the rest of us, the Tom Hartman Program, and Lee in Jonesboro, Tennessee. Hey, Lee, what's up?
Tom, thank you so much for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I got two questions. The first question is a quick one based on what you reported earlier in your show. The African-Americans in Ohio who were being given absentee ballots, was that something that is still going on right now, or was that something that happened early this morning that they put a stop?
That happened on, let me get Greg Palast's report here. That was over the weekend. And
okay, it was during early voting.
Yeah, it was early voting. And when he asked the voting person there, why is it that you didn't give them just regular ballots? Why did you give them? Actually, they had to go through a two-step process. First, they had to fill out an application for an absentee ballot, and typically that gets mailed in. So they had to fill it out, put it in an envelope, seal it, lick it, seal it. They didn't have to put a stamp on it because they were hand-delivering it. Then they deliver it to the election official, who would tear it open, take out the application, and then based on the application, give them the absentee ballot. Then they would vote the absentee ballot. It would be put together with the application and put in. Now, if they filled out STREET as their address, street, you know, filled it all out on the absentee ballot, but put ST period on the application, for example, that would be grounds to disqualify that vote. That, and in any case, when he asked, he said, why? Well, let's see here. I joined it here. I immediately got to in Ohio.
My biggest concern was, is this something that's still going on, or did they finally put a stop to it? And how many people, how many African Americans had to endure this?
Tens of thousands.
God.
Yeah, yeah. And when he asked the person why, I'm looking through the article for the, I highlighted this article. It's four pages long. When he asked the person why, the person told him that in case there is a recount, they wanted to have a physical ballot. He says an absentee ballot is not an early ballot. On a real ballot, when you cast a vote, the law requires it to be counted. Not so for absentee ballots. There are a gazillion ways for officials to discard your absentee ballot. Unlike with the normal Ohio voting machines, if you put an X or check the box next to your candidate's name, your ballot goes in the dumpster. The bubble next to the candidate's name must be blacked in enough, but not too much. So, it's pretty grim. Thanks a lot for the call, Lee. I do appreciate it. And on the line with us, Lynn Whitfield, the actress. Welcome, Lynn. Welcome to our program.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us. I understand that you are, as a performer, as a professional, out speaking out on behalf of the Obama campaign.
Well, yes. I feel like I'm speaking out on behalf of all Americans, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking as an American citizen more than anything else. As a woman, I'm an African-American woman. I have a 20-year-old daughter, and I have an 82-year-old mother. So for me, what I have done is, you know, used my strategic thinking skills and looked at what is going on and what is being offered by President Obama and what is being offered by Mitt Romney. And from what I can see, you know, with my deductive skills, I feel that what President Obama is doing really affects me and mine in a positive way,
mm-hmm.
and makes sure that America from the middle out is being taken care of and being given the possibility to be all we can be as Americans.
But don't you think corporations should get their taxes reduced to zero and the billionaires on Wall Street should get their taxes cut?
Oh, well, absolutely. We should definitely have that going on. That makes all the sense in the world.
It'll save the middle class, you know, don't you know?
Absolutely. For 1% of everybody to not only take everything, have it all for themselves, slam the door on everybody else, and send all the profits somewhere else. So, you know, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah, there you go. So you're speaking out on behalf of President Obama, encouraging people to vote for him today. I'm curious where you're located, if you don't mind my asking. What state?
Where I live or where I'm from? Or
yeah, actually, here's the question is, you know, what's been your experience of voting? I've been asking people all day their experiences of voting, and what we're hearing is in largely Democratic areas, in swing states, people are having a real problem, and in affluent white suburbs that are largely Republican, people are having no problem. And, you know, so I'm just curious what.
Oh, well, that makes all the sense in the world. You know, I did absentee because I've been traveling around for the campaign. I came straight from Columbus, actually, Ohio, for Souls to the Polls.
Right.
And, so I've not been at home. I live in California, so I'm sure everybody's having a pretty good time of it out there.
Yeah.
Now
Greg Pallas went along, you know, the BBC reporter on the Souls to the Polls thing. And in fact, he went with a group of people from the Freedom Faith Missionary Baptist Church group, and went to the polling place with 1,000 of these folks. And they were all given, instead of real ballots, they were given applications for absentee ballots, which they had to fill out. And then they were given absentee ballots, which they voted on. Absentee ballots are very, very easily discarded or ignored, whereas the law doesn't allow you to ignore a real ballot. And his reporting is that if you were in a white district, you were given a real ballot. If you were in an African-American district, you were given an absentee ballot.
You know what, though? Actually, right now, I am in Chicago. And if you could see the amazing organization they have going on here, if anybody has problems like that, it's great that they call in and share it with you.
Right.
But there is great access. And all you have to do is visit vote.barackobama.com, vote.barackobama.com, and you can do it as well, since you heard it, and call your friend and let them know where to call, because, you know, whatever is going on, our ground game is amazing. There are people there. I can't imagine that 1,000 people this would have happened to, knowing the kind of ground game we have.
Yeah.
And poll watchers that we have.
Okay.
And lawyers that we have on the ground. So what?
Lynn, we're out of time, but thank you so much for being with us and for the great work that you do.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Stories of heroism. This is extraordinary. Think Progress has got a live blog of the election day. Fellow in Detroit, elderly man at a Michigan polling station, Ty Houston, 48-year-old home health care registered nurse, told the Detroit News he was filling out his absentee ballot when the man's wife, the fellow standing next to him at the polling station, screamed for help because her husband became unresponsive. He was dead, Houston said. He had no heartbeat. He wasn't breathing. I started CPR, and after a few minutes, he revived and started breathing again. He knew his name and his wife's name. In other words, the guy's, you know, no brain damage. He's still there. What happened next astounded Houston and his victim's wife. The first question this man asked as he was brought back from the dead on the floor of the polling place, did I vote? I'm not making this up. Meanwhile, in Philadelphia, this latest update from the Think Progress blog, apparent confusion by poll workers and outdated voter rolls. Right. Why do they always have these excuses? Why don't we just say, you know, you've got a Republican governor, you've got a Republican machine in Philadelphia, surprise, surprise. Or in Pennsylvania, rather, surprise, surprise, Philadelphia, one of the most Democratic cities in the state, has got a whole bunch of people who've been thrown off the voting rolls. This is exactly what happened in Florida in 2000 when Catherine Harris threw 60,000 to 80,000 African Americans off the voting roll before the election. 60,000 to 80,000 people showed up to vote, were told, I'm sorry, we can't find your name on the list. Here's a provisional ballot. They filled out the provisional ballot and never got counted because they weren't registered as voters. Why? Because Catherine Harris took them off the list. Why? Because their name was similar to a felon in Texas. So somehow they've purged the list in Pennsylvania. Again, I'll read you the story just straight up without my commentary, if I can restrain myself. Apparent confusion by poll workers and outdated voter rolls are forcing a significant number of Philadelphia voters to cast provisional ballots. Reports have been rolling in, suggesting that registered voters' names are missing from the voters' rolls. Poll workers were asking them to vote on a provisional ballot that might not be counted for a week after the election. These Philadelphia City paper reports, quote, some poll workers are not even instructing people that they can file provisional ballots, and other voters are reportedly just walking away in frustration. Think Progress has received several firsthand accounts from registered voters whose names are missing from the book. This is called voter suppression, my friends. This is called rigging the vote. Joe Stalin famously said, perhaps apocryphally, we don't know if he actually said it or not, it's not on videotape, but it's attributed to him and has been for decades, it doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts the vote. Well, it matters whether you're on the list, right? And who counts the vote in Ohio, for example, is John Husted, who is probably one of the most partisan secretaries of state in the entire United States. Or down in Florida, the guy who's counting the vote, Rick Scott, the governor, making sure that people can't vote early voting, or if in Ohio, early voting, people show up for early voting, they're given absentee ballots instead of real ballots. I mean, this is really criminal stuff. Florida robocalls. This was just, it was just a mistake, right? Just a mistake. A robocall from Pinellas County Supervisor of Elections, Deborah Clark, a Republican, but just a coincidence. Just a coincidence. Told voters today that they could vote anytime until 7 o'clock tomorrow. That's, I'm not making this up. That's what the vote said. I'm calling to remind you, you can vote tomorrow anytime until 7 p.m. A spokeswoman told the Tampa Bay Times that the calls, which encouraged voters to vote by the close of time tomorrow, were queued to go out Monday, but some accidentally went out Tuesday morning. Aw. Isn't that, you know, just, it's just an accident that a Republican election supervisor would call thousands of people on Tuesday with a robocall that says, you know, call thousands of registered voters with a robocall that says you can vote tomorrow until 7. Just reminding you. Very, very strange. Carol Crist, the wife of former Governor Charlie Crist, the guy who used to be Republican, isn't anymore, was among those receiving the incorrect message this morning. Clark's office says it has since sent a correction robocall to those who received incorrect information. How about throwing this woman in jail and, you know, having whatever, you know, where's Elliot Ness when you need him? You know, where are the people who do the interrogations? You did what to our sacred vote? Amazing. It goes on and on and on. The, you know, what's going on with this and how it's going on and where it's going on and. Oh, I just got a text message from the Obama campaign. Will you make one call for President Obama? Reply call, and we'll send you the name and phone number of one voter in a key state who needs to hear from you. Well, that would be fun. We could do that. We could do that on the air, except Shano just suggested we do it on the air. But the problem is that it's against the law in a lot of states. You have to get that person's permission before you call them. So, c'est la vie. Brandon in McCormick, South Carolina. Hey, Brandon, you've got a story about your experience voting today?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Tom? I'm sorry, Tom.
That's fine. It's quite all right. What's up, Brandon?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I listen to you and Mark Thompson all the time. And
Mark's a great guy.
Between y'all two and a best friend of mine, y'all have converted me from the dark side.
Okay. So what's on your mind?
I actually just got a phone call here about 30 minutes ago, right before I called you. I live in a very, very small town that used to be primarily Democratic, but the district lines have been redrawn, and now it is Republican.
Mm-hmm.
But, I got a call from the Democratic headquarters stating that they would actually come pick me up and give me a ride to the polls, and I have yet to receive a call from the Republican headquarters, who, is by and large, has a lot more money.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's the ground game that they're talking about. There, a lot of them are out there. And Brandon, have you voted yet?
I'm actually fixing to walk out the door as soon as I hang up with you.
Good on you. If you've got any interesting experiences at the polling place, give us a shout back and let us know. Thanks a lot, Brandon, for the call. And thanks for watching Free Speech TV. Arthur in Cape Coral, Florida. Ah, one of those states, huh? Hey, Arthur, what happened?
What happened is I ended up going to my local precinct, and naturally there was like a three-hour line.
Is this a precinct that is in a largely Democratic area or a largely Republican area?
I would say more of a primarily Republican area.
Oh, that's interesting. They would have a long
line. It's a retired area, so it's more Republican.
Okay.
So anyway, so I get in line, stand there about 20 minutes, start seeing people coming out saying, I hope you're ready to wait another hour once you get inside.
Whoa.
Truth become, there's only one machine that's able to count all the votes.
Whoa.
And this is a precinct that has combined itself into two precincts, and people just by the tens of dozens just started walking away, and it just really broke my heart to see people just not being able to, you know, do what the Constitution allows them to and not be able to vote. And I ended up having to leave too. So,
oh my.
Do you really think that this is something that, that the Republicans do in swing states because they know that
these are man-made problems, Arthur. There is no reason. I, as I've said on the air, I have never in my life waited more than 15 minutes to vote. And most people who don't live in swing states or who live in affluent white areas or rural areas, which is, you know, mostly what I've lived in most of my life, you never wait to vote. It's never been a question. It's never been an issue. But if you live in an area, you said where you live is a lot of retired people. Those retired people are very freaked out about the fact that the Republicans twice passed Paul Ryan's budget that voucherizes Medicare. They probably know about
right.
that. And so I would guess that the Republican Party is probably targeting that area to say, okay, give them one voting machine for, you know, X thousands of people and make them wait hours and hours and hours. And, you know, those old people with their Depends and whatnot, they're not going to stand around and wait. You know, it's
right.
So, yeah, it's not a good thing. And this is voter suppression. This should be against the law. If we had an affirmative right to vote in the United States, if the Supreme Court in Bush v. Gore had not said explicitly, you have the Americans have no explicit constitutional right to vote. If they had not said that in ruling that had all the votes in Florida been counted, it would have caused irreparable harm to George W. Bush. And that's what they said in their ruling. If they had not said that we don't have a right to vote, maybe we could have the Justice Department in here checking on this and say, you know, if you have to wait more than 15 minutes, somebody's in trouble.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And it should be that way. It should be. I mean, it's not like it's a lack of resources. These are very carefully thought out things. Twenty minutes past the hour. Welcome back, Talk Media for the sane among us. The Tom Hartman Program, fair and only slightly unbalanced. Donald in Oak Park, Illinois. Hey, Donald, what's up?
Yes. Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Good.
You know what really gets me about this whole thing? Hello?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine. Can you hear me?
What really gets me about this whole thing is when all this is all over with, regardless of who wins, none of these people are going to jail. There should be governors that go to jail for this. There is nothing protecting us, nothing that protects our right to vote. We'll send GIs to another country so they could dip their finger in an inkwell to protect their vote. They will lay their lives down. We have nobody that will do that for us over here. I am sick of it. I am a veteran, too. I was drafted in 1966. I am so appalled as to what's going on. Yeah. I am absolutely livid.
Not only has nothing been done about it, but in the election of 2000, the state of Florida's Supreme Court ordered that every single vote in the state be recounted, and the Bush campaign went to the Supreme Court, sued the Gore campaign, thus it's called Bush v. Gore, because the plaintiff starts out, it's Bush versus Gore, and said that if that recount is allowed to continue, it will cause irreparable harm to plaintiff George W. Bush. That's the exact language from Bush v. Gore. Irreparable harm. In other words, George Bush would suffer irreparable harm. He would not become president of the United States if the recount was allowed to continue. They knew when they took this to the Supreme Court that if every vote in that state was counted, that Al Gore would be president. So the Supreme Court stopped the count. They violated the 10th Amendment. They said the state Supreme Court does not have control over the state voting apparatus, which is a clear violation of the Constitution. The five members of the Supreme Court who voted for that should have been impeached the next day. They were not. And instead, George W. Bush was given the White House and then proceeded to commit a whole series of war crimes and crimes against the Fourth Amendment and crimes against our privacy and crimes against our democracy. And you're right. Nobody has gone to jail for this. And the voter suppression, if anything, has been amped up for this election because they know that the Supreme Court is at stake. And the Supreme Court is the one thing that will prevent them from ever being prosecuted by continuing to assert, as they did in Bush v. Gore. Say that again. Eric Robertson. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you very much. My next guest, I totally missed that. Sorry for going off on the rant. I do not see him on the board. Is Eric Robertson on the board? There we go. Line 11. Thank you. Eric Robertson, the R&B singer, songwriter, music producer. Eric, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm hearing some outrageous stories, though. People in Ohio, particularly in largely African-American areas, who are being given absentee ballots to vote on, which are easily thrown out rather than regular ballots. People in Pennsylvania whose, you know, votes are jumping, who are being told, sorry, you're not on the voting rolls. I mean, in these swing states that are run by Republicans, we're getting all kinds of reports from people that you know, hey, you no longer can vote here. What's going on?
Well, I think it's just unfortunate, and I think that's just another way of people trying to move away from what's right.
Yeah, my take on this is if they're gonna try and knock 2-3-4 million of us off the voting rolls, if they're gonna try and steal 2-3-4 million votes, we got to turn out 8 million.
Right, right, and that's one reason why we're trying to do these interviews, but we're trying to spread not only on Facebook and on Twitter and everything, to just tell everybody to stay firm, stay focused on their goal, and stay in the line. You know, don't just let someone hand you an absentee ballot and think that that's fine, and you just go out and fill it out later. Like, no, that's why we've been talking about it for the longest, to prepare for this moment. And at the same time, I don't know if it's some big overall scheme, but it might just be someone in a certain county or a certain city doing something wrong and not really trying to do the right thing. So, you know, stay firm. If it doesn't feel right, you go to another authority.
And you can go to vote.barackobama.com, and you can call 1-866-OUR-VOTE also to report this stuff. It's pretty grim stuff. But the bottom line is that as many people as possible need to get out there and vote. Eric Robertson, your experience in this?
Yes. You know, I mean, me and my family voted earlier, and you know, I'm in New Jersey, where even a lot of my family are still without power.
Wow.
And a lot of them ran out of gas because gas lines are horrendous right now. Mm. But even with that, we're all still, you know, focused and making sure that everyone gets out there and make their voice heard. And if we can do it here in New Jersey, you can do it in Ohio and Washington D.C. and many other states as well.
There you go. Eric Robertson, the R&B singer, songwriter, music producer, BarackObama.com, of course, the website for the Obama campaign. And Eric, thanks so much for dropping by today.
I so appreciate it. Thank you.
Great talking with you. Keep up the great work and keep on making great music. It's really great music. Mike in Westbrook, Maryland. Or no, Maine. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Yeah, hi.
Hey.
Yes, the reason I wanted to call is I'm going to expound on a point you made earlier. You can go to BarackObama.com and sign up, and they'll give you a little script and a bunch of numbers to call, and you can choose swing states, and it's very, very easy.
Mm-hmm.
Once you sign up, they give you a little thing, and you can call and say, have you voted today? It's a very simple script, and, of course, you can ad lib a little bit.
Right.
And I probably called 200 people, and I got through to a bunch that hadn't voted yet, and they said they were going to vote.
Yeah, I've got something like, you know, because I signed up for too big a plan when I first bought my phone, and I got like 10,000 rollover minutes.
So, mm-hmm.
If I wasn't doing a radio show, I would be sitting there dialing right now and burning through some of those extra minutes. I mean, it's a great thing to do. You're right. It's not too late to call on behalf of the Obama campaign and get people out there. And
one more thing.
Yes, sir. 20 seconds.
So a bunch of the numbers are disconnected. So unfortunately, you have to kind of like, okay, next one. But then you will get through. There's live people out there that will answer the phone. So.
Yeah. So don't give up. Keep on trying. And here we're going to be collecting people's stories and find out what's going on. Mike, thanks a lot for the call. And we'll be back. 27 minutes past the hour. What have your experiences been voting today? And if you missed our first hour or our earlier conversation, what does John Galt have to do with voting machines? We're not going to run another contest, but I'll tell you if you just tuned in right after the break.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
We actually ran that as a contest. What does John Galt have to do with voting machines? Somebody won a copy of my book, Cracking the Code, about the history of political movements. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, and Greg Palast on the line with us. Hey, Greg, how you doing?
What can I tell you? I'm here in Toledo. How are we doing? I'm here in Ohio.
I have been getting calls from, I think 100% of the calls have been from people who have self-identified as African Americans from Ohio, who have said that when they tried to early vote, they were given absentee ballots rather than regular ballots. What the hell's going on in Ohio?
Hell is what's going on. Yes, I am here with investigative photojournalist Daniel Russell, who from Ohio, and we went to out to the Souls with the small missionary Baptist church in Dayton on Souls to the Polls voting, and Yeah, after literally 1,000 people were in line, after hours of wait, they got in and they were handed. I'm looking at this thing and I said, that's not a ballot. It's a application for an absentee ballot. Well, we were in the election clerk's office. That's not obviously you're not absent if you're right in the clerk's office.
Right.
The problem is, yeah, so this is happening. So in other words, you have black voters who are getting absentee ballots. Now here, understand. And if you go to gregpalace.com, you'll get this story and you'll see the film we made.
Right.
If you're white, you vote today. Most white people vote today in Ohio, and most Republicans. Almost all black people will vote early in Ohio, the vast majority, and the big day was Sunday, where you go to church and then you go to the polls.
Right.
Sunday voters got absentee ballots in many counties, not real ballots. But the white voters today are getting ballots.
So why is this? Before I even ask why is this, what is the significance of an absentee ballot? So what? I got an absentee ballot. I'm still voting, aren't I?
The problem is that the count is often absent. If you read my latest book, Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, you find out that officially 488,000 absentee ballots were cast and not counted. That's the official number in 2008. The New York Times says about 3 million cast and not counted. The key thing there is about 9-1, the ballots which are rejected, cast not counted, are cast by African Americans. This is a typical trick. There's so many ways to lose your vote if you mail it in. For example, in Ohio, you have to fill out this complex application form. You have to fill out a complex envelope form. If you miss a space, get any of it wrong, have a signature that includes or excludes a middle initial, you know, which you didn't have in your registration, you lose your vote. Bang. You're dead. Plus, if you put an X or a check instead of filling the bubble, or if you make the bubble too small, too big, you lose your vote as well. So there's a million ways. And plus, you can be challenged because your ballot is sitting there available for challenge. It's not counted. It won't be counted till tonight, those early voting. Previously, an early vote was an early vote. You were on whatever machines or ballots, punch cards, paper ballots, and they were counted and they were put in the tally immediately. This is brand new. This will knock out about 20% of those votes will go down the toilet. So figure about 10% of the black vote will be lost.
Wow. We're talking with Greg Palace. GregPalace.com is his website. His new book, Ballot Bandits and Billionaires. Or is it Billionaires and Ballot Bandits?
Billionaires and Ballot Bandits.
There you go. Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. And go ahead, Greg.
My publisher, Seven Stories Press. The book is today completely. It's a number one New York Times bestseller, paperback politics, number one. But we are giving it away for free completely today. It's just. There's too much at stake in America right now. Go to gregpalace.com, download it.
That is spectacular. And so, Greg, is this kind of this even goes beyond voter suppression. This is discarding people's votes. Is this unique to Ohio?
No, it's not unique to Ohio, but Ohio after Florida and Colorado and New Mexico are probably the fourth, I would say, worst in voter suppression tactics. Mm-hmm. In 2008, Obama won the state because you had a Democratic Secretary of State, which had a month of Sundays for early voting. And so there were no lines for black folk. So you have this absentee ballot trickery game going on. But you also are back to the lines that we had in the notorious 2004 Ohio race,
right,
where Bush was reelected in part by long lines in black communities. They're back. One single voting station in each county. I mean, you're talking about Cincinnati with 1.5 million people, where people were voting Sunday night up to near midnight after the polls, waiting 7 hours when the polls closed at 5. They were still in line till midnight.
Because there was only one voting station for the entire county of over 1 million people?
That's right. Only one.
That's insane. Or that's criminal.
It's politics. The Republican Secretary of State is a guy named John Houston, and he is violently partisan. He tried to eliminate early voting. And the court said you can't do that. That's racist. You can't do that. He said, okay, guess what? I'll make it one Sunday 4 hours, which is most black voters, 4 hours, one polling place in each county, no matter how big the city, Dayton, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Toledo. That's it. And so if you
live in a white rural area, you probably have a 10-minute wait. But if you live in a big city, a large urban stronghold, a largely Democratic stronghold, you're competing with a million other people for that one voting place.
Well, you should see the lines. Go to GregPalace.com, see the film of those lines, and see the churches, see who, the color of the people voting, about 75-80% African-American. Right. Right now, after we get off, I'm going voting with an almost white voter, mm-hmm. and in a suburban area, and I'll report back to you on whether there's a difference, whether there's 1,000 white folk and their SUVs backed up.
Well, I voted on Saturday, and it took me 32 minutes to vote here in Washington D.C. But it's not a swing state, and it suddenly occurred to me, Louise and I were talking about it. I've never waited more than 15 minutes in my entire life, and I've been voting since the election of 72. And so, you know, we've just been talking about this on the air for the last couple of days, and people have been calling in. And what we're hearing is that the majority of people who live in affluent areas, in white areas, in places that are not swing states, you know, 10, 15 minutes is the norm for most people. But if you happen to live in a largely Democratic area, in a swing state, particularly in a swing state, in an area that is largely African-American, largely student, largely elderly down in Florida, plan on waiting hours and hours and hours, because the Republicans who run those states are going to do everything they can to keep you from voting.
And in fact, in Florida, Republican elections officials were stopping. It's massively hot down there and massively long lines that there were in early voting. And they were stopping nonpartisan poll watchers from handing out bottles of water to elderly people in waiting hours in the sun. They said handing out bottles of water was a bribe for Obama.
You're kidding.
I kid you not. We are getting unbelievable reports at GregPalace.com, and they're documented. This is, by the way, from the Brennan Center. It's not like some guy calling in. Yeah. And when I got this tip-off about the absentee ballots, I wasn't even supposed to be in Ohio, but I said, you're kidding me. I didn't believe it. Even I went to Professor Bob Fetrakis, who is, of course, the great voting rights attorney.
Right.
He didn't believe it either. You know, and I actually went to Columbus and took him the absentee ballot application form that I was handed, because I walked in and said, you know, I might vote. So, oh, here you go. It's like, sure, they'll give them out to anyone.
Now, how do you respond to some? We actually had, somebody on who was speaking on behalf of the Obama campaign, you know, an R&B singer and star, Eric Robertson.
Yes.
And I pointed this out to him. And he said, well, you know, maybe it's just a bad precinct or a confused elections official.
No. We have a very partisan Republican Secretary of State in Ohio, like we had Ken Blackwell in 2004.
Right.
This is no joke. This involves tens of thousands of votes. 1.2 million voters were purged from the voter rolls in the last 2 years in Ohio. You know, a lot of it doesn't matter. They're dead people, and that's fine. But there's no reason to be purging voters. And so Ohio is expected today to have 300,000 provisional ballots from people who were wrongly purged. They find their name missing. This is not a small thing, 300,000. And when the ballots are when those provisional ballots, a new rule was instituted only the day before yesterday, saying that the voter had to fill out a very complex technical form on the provisional ballot. For example, you're not allowed to write that you provided a driver's license ID. You have to put down motor vehicle operating permit. And if you
really
say license, you lose your vote. Now, why would a Democratic, why would a spokesman for the Obama campaign or someone close to the campaign say, don't worry about it?
Well, I think he just didn't know. He was just, you know, he's a star they're throwing them at radio shows.
I want to explain the policy that they have. And I don't agree with it, but, you know, I'm not concerned about who wins. I'm concerned that people get their votes counted.
Right.
They are very, very concerned that when I do reports and Bobby Kennedy, who's my co-writer of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, does reports, they, you know, Obama spoke to him. Others have spoken to us and to Bob Fetrakis filing suits on this, on these games, is that when you make these reports, it discourages people from voting.
I don't think it does. I think it pisses people off enough, pardon my language, that they get out there and say, if they're going to steal 3 million votes, I'm going to show up as part of 8 million.
Exactly. I've always said when they steal 9 million votes, so please vote. Don't let them.
Yeah, don't let him. Greg, you're breaking up. But bottom line, please vote. Don't let him get away with it. You're absolutely right. Go to gregpalace.com for more information. You can see the report there. You can download his new book, Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. And if you haven't, be sure and buy a copy, too. Greg, thanks for being with us.
You're the best, Tom. Thanks.
You're the best, Greg. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
So what's your experience been voting today? We're getting some very interesting stories here. More to share with you. And Ellen Ratner with the news report after this.
Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Ain't that news?
Indeed, it's time for our newscast. This talk radio news service, although I don't have her on the board yet. This talk radio news service report brought to you by the efforts to free America's newest political prisoner, former Alabama Governor Don Siegelman. You can sign the petition to ask President Obama to pardon Don Siegelman by going to free-don.org. Victoria Jones on the line with us. Victoria, hey, what's going on?
Hey, Tom. Well, I voted.
Me too.
Very exciting. Very exciting to me to vote because I worked my citizenship.
Is this your first election? I know you've become a naturalized U.S. citizen in the time that I've known you, but that's been quite a few years.
Well, I became a naturalized U.S. citizen on November the 20th, 1995, after a very tempestuous marriage, difficult divorce, and going before an immigration judge.
Uh-huh. Oh, so this was actually before I knew you. I misunderstood. Okay, so
yeah.
So it was
difficult. I had a difficult time becoming a citizen because yeah. My husband tried to get me thrown out of the country.
Oh my. Oh my.
Yeah.
Well, good on you for making it through and for voting today, and you know, you have a good experience, and it seems like a lot of people in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Florida and New Mexico are not having good experiences. If the calls I'm getting are any indication.
No, I had a good experience. I went to the school and they told me no, we don't have any record of you, and I freaked out. And then they said, oh no, you know, you came to the main area. You're supposed to go all the way around the corner to the cafeteria. You're in a different precinct. They had two precincts in the same high school.
Okay, this is Maryland or Virginia?
This is Maryland.
In Maryland,
okay.
This
is a very boring state to vote in, except I'm in a district that's been redistricted, and there's the opportunity for an incumbent Republican congressman to be thrown out in this district. It's very exciting.
Very, very interesting. And so what's going on around the world today?
Well, obviously, we've got a number of things to watch on election night. What if the polls are wrong? Everybody watching Virginia, which closes at 7 p.m. Eastern. Mitt Romney really wants to win Virginia. If he wins it, it is the precursor to whether he wins Ohio. Those are really his routes to 270. If he doesn't win Virginia, it becomes very difficult for him, even with Ohio, to get to 270. How big is the white vote? What is the status of the African-American vote also? Also, Representative Elijah Cummings, who is the ranking member on the House Oversight Committee, said today that the African-American vote, in his view, will be high today because African-Americans feel very strongly that President Barack Obama has been stymied at every effort that he has made to put forward any kind of an agenda, any effort that he has made to get anything done by Republicans, and that they recognize this and that they will be turning out, he believes, in record numbers because of this.
Yeah, well, he's right. I mean, it was an overt conspiracy. You know, Paul Ryan, Eric Cantor, and 12 other Republicans got together the night that you and I were at the inaugural ball here at Union Station, and I believe you were there, weren't you?
Yes,
my recollection is right. And they got together over at the Caucus Room restaurant with Frank Luntz and Newt Gingrich and swore that they would block every effort by the president and did so. Outside of that 2 months and one day when he held a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate, they've been fighting him every, you know, tooth and nail all the way.
Exactly. So that's something to watch out for. As soon as the election is over and in a week's time, Congress
comes back from its very long recess for the lame duck session. Mm-hmm. And Washington's election is going to shift from the election to the fiscal cliff. That's what we're all going to be talking about.
Right.
That's the tax and spending issues. And so depending on who is elected tonight, along with the congressional leaders in both parties and the makeup of the House and Senate, which isn't going to change really, what is going to happen?
Right.
Are we going to step back from this fiscal cliff, or are we going to go over it? In which case, most economists say that we're likely to be thrown back into recession in the first half of next year.
Wow. Now, that's assuming that there is an election outcome tonight, at least for the presidency.
Right.
You know, what I'm seeing in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Florida is and Colorado, these Republicans have so scrambled the voting rolls and, you know, passing out absentee ballots to African Americans who show up and regular ballots to white folks who show up. And I mean, just these insane stories that it may be. I mean, it took a month back in 2004. Did it not?
Yes, it did. And the way that Ohio in particular's recounts take place, it could be December. Now, some of the other states' recounts have to take place by law quite quickly. Florida's recount actually has to take place quite quickly, has to be completed within 12 days of the general election. Other people's recounts have to happen depending on, you know, what how small the amount is of the margin of error. So we really don't have any idea with Ohio. It even though the voting of provisional ballots can't take place until November the 17th, Ohio counties then have an additional 10 days to conduct an official canvass of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
And then there can be an automatic recount if the two candidates are within 0.25% of the overall vote total. So Ohio could drag on. So the hope really for a definitive result is that one or the other candidates has a definitive win in that state.
Right, right. Let's not hold our breaths. I'm just anyhow, what else is going on?
Well, the other thing that's going on that is really quite interesting, which I'll get into in more detail later in the week, is the Cooperative Threat Reduction Program, known as NUN-LUGA for its Senate authors. This is a Cold War Congress program, which is that was secure and has been in operation now for two decades to secure and dismantle the Soviet Union's vast inventory of nuclear weapons, delivery systems, and associated materials. It's been going on for a long time. Senators Nunn and Lugar persuaded the Senate to put it into place, and it is now at risk of stopping completely.
Because?
Partly because the Senate may not renew it, and partly because the Russians don't want it.
Huh, interesting. Thank you.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program, broadcasting on commercial radio stations from coast to coast on Sirius XM all across the North American continent, on Pacifica stations in America, Europe, and Africa, on American Forces Radio at every U.S. military base in the world, and simulcast as television on Dish Network, DirecTV, and several hundred cable systems nationwide by the Free Speech TV Network. Robert Reich back on the line, back on the program with us, former U.S. Secretary of Labor in the Clinton administration, author of numerous books, his latest Beyond Outrage, now out in paperback. Robert Reich, REICH.org, his website. Secretary Reich, welcome back to the program.
Well, Tom, happy Election Day.
Indeed, although I'll tell you,
happy Election Day. Maybe I jumped to a conclusion there.
I was going to say the calls I'm getting are not so happy. I'm getting calls from people who are being given absentee ballots in African American areas in Ohio, who are being told that are given provisional ballots in Pennsylvania, being told that they're not on the rolls. The people down in Florida who are having to wait for hours and hours and hours. And in fact, one of the guys who called gave up, said he just couldn't do it anymore. He had to get home, you know, kids, all this kind of stuff. It is insane out there today, sir. Yeah.
I've heard similar reports. In fact, I heard a report from some people in Ohio who said that they were directed to the wrong polling station, and by the time they got there, an entire hour had elapsed, and they didn't have enough time because they had to get back to work. So there are irregularities. The question is this being planned, and how well is it being planned, and how devious is this entire thing? Are we seeing a replay in Ohio and Florida of what we saw, particularly in Florida, in the year 2000?
Right.
Well, we don't know yet. There are irregularities in almost every election to some extent, but this doesn't look too good right now.
Yeah, I live in Washington, D.C. now, and all my life I've lived in largely white communities. Not necessarily, I didn't grow up in an affluent community. I grew up in a solidly middle class, Lansing, Michigan. Everybody worked in Allswell. My dad worked in a tool and die shop. But it was, I have never in my life had to wait more than 15 minutes to vote. Living in Vermont, living in New Hampshire, living in the northern suburbs of Atlanta. Louise and I were talking about this over the weekend. I voted on Saturday. It took me 32 minutes here in D.C., which was still, no big deal. And it just seems to me, Robert Reich, that over and over and over again, the stories that we hear about people having to wait 4 hours, 5 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours, they're always in these swing states. They're always in Democratic-leaning districts that are controlled, or where the electoral apparatus is controlled by Republicans. In 2008 in Ohio, when a Democratic Secretary of State controlled that state, there was no wait. There was no wait to vote.
Tom, there's no question. A wait for more than 5 minutes or 10 minutes maximum is the equivalent of a poll tax.
It's suppressive in its nature.
Money is time. Time is money. Many people just cannot wait for an hour because they have jobs. They have other responsibilities. You are imposing a burden on the electoral process. And if you're doing that in a selective and partisan way, where you are likely to hit poor people, and poor people tend to vote more Democratic, well, that means that you are, in effect, tilting the election toward the Republicans, and that is illegal. It is illegal. It should be illegal. There will be a lot of lawsuits generated by any such action. Right now in Ohio, the Obama team has about 450 lawyers who are standing by, who are watching some of these practices, who are hearing about some of these irregularities, who are already, I understand, going into court challenging some of them.
Yeah, and yet after the 2000 election, when Catherine Harris knocked anywhere from 40 to 80,000 African Americans off the voting rolls in Florida, her and Jeb Bush illegally because they matched databases of felons in Texas, of all things, she never went to jail for that. She went to Congress for that. There's still lawsuits based on that. That vote easily would have gone for Al Gore. And in fact, when it was finally recounted, although they buried it in the 17th paragraph because it was a week and a half after 9/11 that the story came out, the New York Times reported that when they finally counted all the ballots in Florida, Al, by any measure, was the phrase that the New York Times used. Chaz, Dimple Chaz. Al Gore won Florida.
Absolutely. We haven't even changed the voting machines. I mean, we remember all of that concern that was generated two election cycles ago, three election cycles ago, about the voting machines that were biased, or at least people were worried about them being biased. The maker of the voting machine, the manufacturer, had impeccable Republican credentials. There was no paper trail to make sure that those voting machines were actually being accurately monitored and maintained. Well, we still have that problem. We still have not fixed that problem. What's amazing to me is we can go 12 years after the election of 2000 and still have many of the same problems in place.
Yeah. And if not, even worse. Here's a bit of trivia that I think will be of particular fascination to you if you don't already know it. Do you know the address for the largest voting machine company manufacturer in the United States, ES&S? Do you know what street they're on?
They're not on Pennsylvania Avenue.
John Galt Boulevard. Tell me
well,
that's not
John,
an omen.
John Galt, he is the great Ayn Rand hero.
That's right. There you go. So
he is the hero of either Atlas Shrugged or
it's Atlas Shrugged. Yeah,
it is Atlas.
Yeah, who is John?
Well, that's not particularly.
So is today's.
It doesn't sound coincidental.
Yeah, let's talk about the things that you're writing about. I love your blog. I love your writings. I go to robertreich.org regularly to read the stuff that you're writing, and of course I see it also propagated all across the web, Common Dreams and Truth Out and other places. Isn't this an election today about the choice between our going down the Greek-Spanish austerity road, or for that matter, even arguably the British austerity road, or a genuine recovery like the Scandinavian countries are experiencing?
I think it is, Tom. The biggest question we face coming up, beginning tomorrow, and I think the press and media, to the extent that they're going to be covering the future and not only the past and not only voting irregularities and everything else, but the biggest question coming up for the next administration is the fiscal cliff starting in January. And by fiscal cliff, I simply mean that if nothing is done, about $600 billion of spending cuts and tax increases automatically go into effect. And that is austerity cubed, austerity to the nth degree. That is attacking the budget deficit by basically killing our economy. And even the Congressional Budget Office has admitted that if we go over that cliff and actually go through with those automatic tax increases and spending cuts, we are going to have a recession next year. We're going to see high unemployment. The next president is going to have to preside over a broken economy, more broken than it is today. So the question is, are we going to do that? Are we going to attack the budget deficit and forget about jobs and forget about the economy? Well, hopefully not, but that's the big choice ahead.
I think that I believe you wrote an op-ed about what life would be like in Romney world if he's elected president.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, I think that although a lot of people say Mitt Romney has no principles, and I don't think he has any guiding principles, if you look carefully at his life, at his work, at what he has said during this election, at what he has said in previous elections he's been involved in, you do get a set of principles. They are not moral principles. They're principles about the economy.
Right.
I mean, for example, Mitt Romney does believe that corporations are people, and the way you measure the success of an economy is by corporate profits, not by workers' wages, not by the well-being of the average person. I mean, the way you measure an economy's success is if corporations are doing well, and therefore the stock market is doing very well. In the Romney world, in the Romney way of thinking, people are secondary to profits. And you see this in his thinking and what he has said over and over and over again. That's the danger. I mean, I was involved, I was very proud to be part of the Clinton administration. We didn't do everything right by any stretch of the imagination, but I remember in 1992, that platform said, putting people first. Putting people first. Not corporations, not corporate profits, not Wall Street. Putting people first.
There you go. Robert Reich, such brilliant work you've done throughout your life, sir. Former U.S. Secretary of Labor, the author of his most recent book, Beyond Outrage. Check out his blog at robertreich.org.
Thank you for the work that you are doing.
Thank you, sir. It's an honor to have you on the program.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
So is this election today about austerity or recovery? And what are your experiences in the voting booth today? And turn away.
More than you want.
Twenty minutes past the hour. Well, I can tell you, the campaign, the Obama campaign, does not want us talking about voter suppression because the conventional wisdom of the Democratic Party has been since 2000 and probably since before that, that if people talk about voter suppression, people will get discouraged and not show up. My belief is that one of the reasons we're seeing record numbers of people showing up, Democrats showing up, and particularly in African-American communities showing up, is because they know they've been targeted for suppression. And they're saying, damn it, if you're going to steal, if you're going to knock 3 million of us off the rolls, if you're going to steal our votes, 5 million of us are going to show up. If you're going to steal 5 million votes, 8 million of us are going to show up. And that's why I'm saying, A, we've got a very badly screwed up system. You should not have a partisan Republican like John Husted in Ohio running the elections and setting rules that make it very, very difficult for African-Americans to vote and setting up, you're black. Well, here, fill out the absentee ballot. Oh, white guy, here's a real ballot. You can vote. This should not be happening. This should not be happening. In Pennsylvania, person after person after person, I'm sorry, you're not on the polls anymore. They go home and they look themselves up in the database, and sure enough, there they are, but they had to fill out a provisional ballot, also known as a placebo ballot. Why? Oh, must have looked like a Democrat. I mean, what is going on in this country? Diane in Christiansburg, Virginia. Hey, Diane, what's on your mind today?
Well, Tom, I wanted to tell you that I voted today, and it went very well, but I'm in a white neighborhood, and I didn't expect problems. But what I want to tell you that I did last night, and it was probably around 8 o'clock, and I was so full of anger and frustration I couldn't contain myself. And I looked up, I have listened to and watched PBS for 20 years or more, and have contributed hundreds of dollars because I'm really devoted to that sort of reporting, even though I know even that is slanted, but that's where I go. Mm-hmm. And finally, I couldn't take the frustration I had, and I got on the computer and went to PBS and kept scrolling down till I found Jim Lehrer's telephone number, his office telephone number. And I called, and of course it was a recording. I just couldn't contain myself and wait till the next day. Of course it was a recording. It was his secretary's name is Lauren. And I spoke to her, and I said that I was so disappointed and so frustrated with PBS. Told them that I'd been with them
because
for more years. Because they're suppressing the vote. I said, you talk about all sorts of fluffy things on the campaign, but when we're talking about suppression of the vote, to tell the general public what's really going on, there's absolutely nothing there.
In other words, you've been watching PBS. I confess, I have not watched PBS in years, so I can't speak to this. But you're a regular watcher of the McNeil,
yes.
What used to be called the McNeil Lehrer Report, the PBS
yes.
NewsHour, and you have not seen any stories about voter suppression, really?
No. Not anything. I couldn't take it anymore. I said, we're supposed to be the model of democracy across the world, and I'm embarrassed to be here.
Right.
Why is it? How dare you not say anything about voter suppression and talk about fluffy stuff about the campaign? What is that? I am so frustrated with you. I will continue to watch, but I want you to know I'm totally disappointed.
Yeah, the you that you're talking to right now is PBS, not me, for the record.
No, I know. It's just thinking about all that's going on is just so hard because we have little or no way to protect ourselves or other people.
Yes, and the story needs to be told. And the Democratic Party is afraid to tell it because they're afraid it'll discourage people. And frankly, I believe that the election of 2000 was stolen. The election of 2004 was stolen. I think that, frankly, Barack Obama won by several million more votes in 2008 than were ever recorded. I think he won a landslide election. And, you know, their efforts just, you know, so many people showed up, they couldn't stop the tsunami. But this time around, they're ready. And then that's why it's so, quote, close, end quote. So it's going to be a very interesting evening. Diane, thank you for the call, and good on you for letting PBS know what you thought about their coverage. Tim in Warrenville, Illinois. Hey, Tim, what's up?
Hi. Well, your last call just kind of
leads
into what I want to do is, have you ever thought about, well, here, let me rephrase it. If I was the guy who had to pick the head of the Democratic Party, it would be you.
Thank you.
I think you, the way you explain things, you talk about a lot of stuff that you don't hear on the TV. I'm begging you to get on MSNBC or to be as powerful as Wasserman Schultz in the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
Because you have a way of explaining things.
Tim, thank you. I got to stop you here. Thank you for your kind words. It's much appreciated. And thank you for listening to WCPT. I'm doing what I'm doing. You know, I write books. I'm doing a radio show. It's the number one progressive radio show in America. More people listen to this show than any other progressive show on more stations, and watch it on TV as well, simulcast on Free Speech TV. I'm having a good time doing it and writing the books, and it's pretty. And I do a TV show in the evening for Free Speech TV and RT TV, and it's pretty much maxed out my time. And I'm going to stay with what I know that I'm good at. But there are good people in the Democratic Party. They don't need me. Maybe they need us around the edges pushing on them. Logan in Boulder, Colorado. Logan, we have a minute to the break. Your experience voting?
Good. Good election day to you and a most enlightening program today. I just want to quickly tell you about my voting experience today in Boulder, Colorado. In Colorado, you need some kind of documentation to identify yourself. It could be a driver's license, passport, utility bill, school ID, or government document. So I show up at the polls this morning with my first class postage that's labeled from the Boulder County Election Division. It says official election mail. It has my polling place, my name, address, and everything. I presented to them. They said, well, we don't think this is good identification. So I presented them with a cable TV bill, and I could vote with a cable TV bill.
You could vote with a cable TV bill, but you couldn't vote with your own voter ID, your own voter registration. That is ironic. Logan, thank you for sharing that story with us. This is how absurd it is, and these were laws that were promulgated by the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, which was co-founded by Paul Weyrich, the guy who said, I don't want everybody to vote, elections are not won by the majority of people, they never have been, and our leverage goes up as the voting populace goes down.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
And we've got to push back against that, because this has been the Republican strategy since the Reagan administration, since 1980, to suppress the Democratic vote.
Don't change horses in the middle of a stream.
866-O-U-R-V-O-T-E, our vote. If you're having any problems or if you have any questions, if you want to just verify your registration status, find your polling place, if you're having any problems, if you want to, you know, check it out, 866-OUR-VOTE is the telephone number to call. Stephen in Chino Valley, Arizona. You've had a voting experience, Stephen?
Yes, I went to the polls this morning and to vote, and when I finally got into the place, they told me that you know, this is your ID, so I showed my commercial driver's license, and I said, do you want to see my voter registration? They said, no. So then they said, well, you can't have a ballot. And I go, why? And they go, well, we sent you an early voting ballot. I said, that's true, but I didn't fill it out because I've been informed by some informative show on Free Speech TV that those ballots can be invalidated if they just don't like your signature even. So you should actually go to the polling place and vote in person.
Right.
And they looked at me like I was an idiot. And then they said, well, okay. I said, well, my current address is on this voter registration, as you can see. And they said, well, you're going to have to fill out a provisional ballot. So it's a completely paper ballot. So I filled it out. Yeah, I filled it out and voted for who I wanted to vote for. And it goes in a separate box, of course, than the rest of them, a provisional one. And I also ask him, since I have a provisional ballot and it's all paper, can I have a copy of it so I know who I voted for? Oh, absolutely not. It's against the law.
Right. I'm astounded that you
were... I have a copy of my own ballot to see who I voted for in America?
Right.
Come on now.
Right. Yeah, this is our system is really, really badly broken. Stephen, thank you for calling. And my apologies if my commentary on showing up in person to make sure that you're actually registered. My advice was to show up before today, to go in for early voting, so that if you find that there is any problem, you will be able to solve it before today, because today is the day that they pass out the provisional ballots, the placebo ballots. My apologies if it caused you any problem at all, but good on you for at least showing up and voting. Nicholas in St. Augustine, Florida. Hey, Nicholas, what was your experience voting today?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. It's always a great opportunity to speak with you. This is kind of an unplanned call. I actually heard another caller you might have remembered just a few minutes ago describing one of these areas like I live in where it's just strangely Republican. I mean, everybody runs these races, you know, unopposed. Well, at any rate, you know, I was actually going out early voting on Saturday with my girlfriend to vote for Obama. Mm-hmm. And while we weren't impeded to vote, and I was, of course, able to go through as a registered Democrat and go ahead and vote, she was previously an independent. She had never registered as a Republican or a Democrat. And for some reason, between the last time that she registered and now, the county had just, without her permission or knowledge, changed her registration to Republican.
Wow.
Did she notice when they print out the receipt, it just said Republican? I don't know if you have any kind of response or ideas on that.
Well, I can tell you how this happens. There is a group that has been hired by the Republican Party. We've reported on them. I don't have the paper in front of me, and I don't want to say the name wrong and get it wrong. But there, There is a group, and this Nathan Spruill is the guy who runs it. And, they run these little scams in various states. They'll come up to people at a gas station or a store or something and say, would you like to sign this petition to decriminalize pot? Or would you like to sign this petition to make it easier to adopt puppies? I mean, you know, whatever it may be, right? Whatever they think is going to appeal to you. And you say, sure, I'll sign that. And you sign the petition. And then they say, now I need you to sign this card. You know, they flip the page over and say, you need to sign this card down at the bottom and, fill it in with your name and information. And why is that? Oh, just so we've got all the stuff to make sure that that you actually are a registered voter. So your petition becomes valid. And what you are, in fact, doing is changing your voter registration from whatever it is to Republican. And this is a scam that's been running for Strategic Allies Consulting, is Sproul's company. Thank you, Shano. This is a scam that not only he has been doing, apparently, but numerous others. So I'm guessing that somewhere along the line, someplace, your significant other signed a petition or signed something that caused this flip to happen. And this is why you've got to look out for these things. So, Nicholas, check and find out, okay?
Sure, for that.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot for the call. Good to hear from you, Susie. Susie,
yeah.
I don't have a city for you. Where are you?
I am in Mesa, Arizona.
Okay. So, what was your experience?
I went to the voting polls, and of course, I met by a "Fire Obama" sign, and then some chick in a "I Love Sarah Palin" T-shirt, which I was like, totally offended when I walked up in the first place. But I walk in with my voter ID. And my driver's license, and hand it to this guy, and he told me that I wasn't registered, that I wasn't able to vote, that my name didn't show up there, that I was going to have to fill out a provisional ballot. And I stood my ground. I said, I know I'm registered to vote here. I know that I voted here before. Well, you're going to need some kind of proof of that you live at this address at 7122 East of Medina Ave. I said, do you mean to tell me you're going to send me home? I don't walk around with a gas or an electric bill in my purse. I just don't.
Well, the address is on your voter registration card, isn't it?
Yeah, everything was on my voter's registration card. He wouldn't take it. He wouldn't take my voter's registration card either. He was only going off my license.
Huh.
And I stood my ground, was finally able to vote, but boy, my heart was beating by the time I got to the front of that line. I was just like, I can't imagine living in Ohio or Florida or what have you. By the way, I have a brother-in-law who is an attorney who is working in Lorain County in Ohio on behalf of the Obama campaign. And so we are strong Obama supporters. I am incredibly nervous as to what is going on and disgusted with our country that these kind of inconsistencies are allowed to happen.
You wonder if this guy tried to prevent you from voting and then eventually relented. I wonder if your name are you registered as a Democrat?
No, I'm actually registered as a Republican. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, okay.
I have not changed my party affiliation, but I have voted, Democratic for years now.
No, you can be registered anything you want. I was wondering if maybe he tried to stop you from voting because you were registered as a Democrat, but if you're not, I'm baffled. Why did he try to stop you from voting? Or is he just...
I showed up in my bright blue sweater. I was not going to wear red today. So,
so you think you just looked like you might be a partisan Democrat, and that was what got it?
Absolutely.
You didn't go in with a beehive hairdo and a whole bunch of makeup on and high heels and looking like a Republican church lady.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Nope. I didn't look like, we're right here in the center of Mormon country. And I do have to say, I got a chuckle a few weeks ago because I'm standing at, I'm at a stoplight, and there pulled up right next to me is this van, and it says, I'm voting for Barack Obama and I'm a Mormon.
Ha!
What does that tell
you? That's great. Susie, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. Thanks for sharing your story with us, and thanks for voting. Roger in High Bridge, New Jersey. Hey, Roger, your story.
Hey, nice to talk to you. Yeah, it actually took me longer to vote than to wait in line today. It's kind of an interesting thing, but although I live in New Jersey, it is probably the most Republican county in the state.
Therefore,
we're a town that didn't have power until last night at 6 o'clock.
Right.
I mean, we were out of power. We still got people in our county that'll be out until possibly Thanksgiving.
Right.
So it's amazing how quickly they can get things done when they want to.
Oh, yeah. Well, and this is my experience living in Roswell, Georgia, you know, in the northern affluent white suburbs of Georgia was, you know, instantly you show up, you are taken in to vote. I mean, it's almost like concierge service because it's a largely Republican district. You know, it's just. And so you're voting in a largely Republican district. Same thing. Roger, thanks a lot for the call. Much appreciated. John in Portland. Hey, John, your experience.
Hi there, Tom. I really like your show.
Thanks.
I just wanted to say I'm from Pennsylvania originally, and I had a friend who went to college in Ohio in 2004, and he was in one of those gigantic lines. It was like 6 or 8 hours long. And then when I got out of the military, I moved here to Oregon. And by contrast, I mean, I voted 2 weeks ago to discharge my civic responsibility, and then I'm done. I don't understand why there isn't a bigger push for vote by mail.
Yeah, well, Washington State just picked it up. I mean, they saw what was happening in Oregon the next state over. So, you know, it is slowly spreading. I think, you know, the two things we have to do is, number one, deprivatize the vote. We have to get the electronic voting machines and even the electronic counting machines that are in the hands of private corporations out of the system. We need to make the vote the part of the commons again and give ourselves a national a right to vote. These are the two things that I think need to happen. If we're going to have anything that even begins to resemble democracy in the United States. John, thank you very much for the call. Excellent call. Monica in Olympia, Washington. Monica, your experience?
Well, I'm another mail-in voter here in Washington State, so I voted a week ago, and it was, extremely pleasant. I had my voter's guide and my laptop. And
now, did the Republican victory van come to your neighborhood and offer to take your ballot for you?
No, isn't that creepy?
Yeah, this is
just one more tactic. But, hey, I have a solution. I've been following this voter machine problem since the late 90s. I talked to Bev Harris like 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And every election, the Democrats don't want to talk about it because they don't want to suppress the vote. And then they don't talk about it afterwards.
Right.
I think what has to happen is we need some of these brilliant anonymous hackers to give Ohio to Mickey Mouse.
I agree.
I think that everybody would know about it. It would become the top story, and they would have no choice.
I am not advocating that. And in fact, I agree. If you were advocating that, I don't agree with that. But I do agree that if it were to happen, that when people go in and vote, all of a sudden the machine started playing the Ohio fight song or Mickey Mouse won the election, that would be a wake-up call for America. Monica, thank you very much for the call.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
And in fact, I think it's already happened. I think we saw this in 2000. We saw it in 2004. And frankly, I think we saw it in 2008. There was just such large numbers we didn't notice it.
From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming.
Well, we will know by the end of the day. Actually, we might not know for a month, but we'll have some clue by the end of the day. Veronica in Chicago. Hey, Veronica, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I really appreciate all the good work you do. You know, something I was thinking about, I voted on the second day of early voting, and I've been encouraging everyone to vote. I went to polling places today just to kind of check things out. Not too many problems up here in Illinois. I guess we're just not that big of a deal. We're pretty much of a blue state.
Yeah, well, you've got a good Democratic governor and lieutenant governor.
Right, but one thing I have to remind people, especially here in Illinois and everywhere, like on our ballot, we have an amendment here on the ballot here to be represented for Citizens United, whether we're going to vote to contest Citizens United.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another amendment on the ballot to change the Illinois state constitution to take away, people's rights to barter for their jobs and things.
Oh, yeah, collectively bargain. In other words, they're going to mess with your right to unionize.
The election is so, so important. That is so important. We have to win this.
Yep.
But not only that, but if we can't get Citizens United taken care of, and that is on our ballot, And if people in Illinois don't take the time to vote and vote so that we can be represented for Citizens United, then we don't have a chance of changing the Constitution back to have a fair voting in the first place without all this corporate money in it.
Totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. Veronica, thank you for the call. Thanks for listening to WCPT. Well said. George in Alsip, Illinois. Hey, George, what's up?
Well, I'd just like to tell you quickly what happened when I went to my polling place today. As I was walking toward the polling place, a rather frazzled-looking woman pulled up in her car and said, "I can't find the poll. Where is it at?" And I said, "Well, it is a little obscure. You've got to pull off the street, into the parking lot, walk between those two buildings, and hang a left." And she thanked me profusely and drove off. Mm-hmm. Then while I was in the polling place casting my vote, she finally made it in. And the judges told her she wasn't registered there.
Oh.
And she was very upset, and she was walking out. And I said, "Ma'am," I said, "how long have you lived in this area?" And she said, "Well, I moved in March, and I thought I registered, but apparently I didn't." I said, "Well, where did you live before?" And she gave the place in the city of Chicago where she lived. And I said, "Well, you should still be registered there. You can vote there, but check with the judges."
Mm-hmm.
And she went to the judges and said, "That guy over there says I can vote at my old address because I'm still registered there." And they all looked there and said, "Well, yeah, that's correct. You can do that." Mm-hmm. And she started yelling at him, "Well, why didn't you tell me? Why did I have to rely on somebody who's voting to tell me that?" So even with well-intentioned people, sometimes they forget to do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, well, and these volunteers have, in many cases, they're volunteers, and they're stretched very, very thin. And this is one of the reasons that every 2 years we should all be volunteering to be poll workers. And I'm telling you, the Tea Partiers are. And we need to be as well. George, thanks a lot for the call. Bill in Lake Oswego, Oregon. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Hi, Tom. It's good to talk to you. I'm the one we corresponded recently. You sent me back an autographed copy of your book for my partner, and I really appreciate you having done that.
Oh, it was an honor.
Yeah. God bless vote by mail in Oregon and Washington. You know, Scott and I just moved in together about 4 months ago, and so he needed to update his voter registration.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on to Secretary of State Kate Brown's website, logs in with a very little bit of information, goes in, changes his address. He got a voter registration card to confirm it about a week later, and his ballot arrived in the mail the same day as mine at the house. We voted, mailed them in, and then the Secretary of State's website in Oregon actually lets you go on. And with a little bit of personal information, you can check to see that your ballot was received in good order and that there were no issues or errors on your ballot.
That is wonderful. Registering a vote here in D.C. was very simple. I went online. I printed out the form, filled it out, mailed it in. You know, it is very straightforward. They sent me the card immediately. It's very efficient. This whole idea of trying to make it hard to vote is anti-American. It's just anti-American.
It absolutely is. I mean,
Bill,
we don't have a fundamental right to vote, quote unquote, like you said in the Constitution, which frankly, I think we should. That's something we should work toward.
Yes.
But we all need to take our voting privilege and responsibility as important as anything else we do in our lives, because every single vote really genuinely does matter.
Yeah, absolutely. Very well said. And, Bill, thank you for fixing my computer, low those many years ago.
Absolutely. It was good to meet you.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot for the call, Bill. Jason in hang on just a second here. Hit the wrong button. Jason in Desert Springs, California. We got a minute to the end of the show. Hey, Jason, you have the last minute.
Yes, Desert Hot Springs, California.
Okay, got it.
Anyways, real quickly, thank you for all the work you do, but this voter suppression can be handled if we just reported our vote, whatever party you want. Let's say the Republicans report their vote to whoever, Democrats, you know, or independents can call.
Why should we have to do all that, though? Shouldn't our votes be recorded in a way that is clear, transparent, auditable, where you can go in and audit it, say, "Hey, I'd like to see my vote. I'd like to see how I voted. I'd like to see proof that I voted." I mean, it used to be that way when we voted on paper. Here it is. Actually, it wasn't. You couldn't see that because the secret ballot, your name wasn't actually on the ballot. But you knew that you voted, and you knew that your ballot was counted, and there were actual physical people there counting it. I just think this whole thing with these electronic voting machines and all these weird systems, all this, it's wrong. It is just wrong. So coming up tomorrow on the Tom Hartman program, the latest news and information about the results of the election, to the extent that we know, because if Mr. Husted in Ohio or Mr. Scott in Florida have their way, we won't know for quite some time. Plus, the best of the rest of the news and your calls here on the Tom Hartman Program. And don't forget, democracy begins with you. Today's the day. You know, I always say voting is the least important thing. Well, today it's the most important thing. Get out there and vote. Good luck. We'll see you. See you tomorrow. Tag, you're it.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, go to tomhartman.com.